Hey, Danger Dan Jurz here with a quick announcement. Our next interstitial bonus content will be Daniel's Power Rangers mini campaign, and it will be the final one before the start of Season 2 officially begins. It's a soft Season 1 epilogue slash side story that will be releasing exclusively on Patreon, with its first episode dropping Wednesday, May 27th. Stick around after the episode to hear a sneak preview. More details about Season 2 will be coming soon, so keep an ear out and enjoy the episode.
D&D Dark Souls is a dark fantasy adventure intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
hello and welcome to D&D Dark Souls, a dark fantasy actual play podcast inspired by mechanics from the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game system and starring some of Fantasia's most fractured fairy tales. I am your host and scribe of the Great Flame, Ben Magnet.
Hello everyone, I'm Aaron and I'm playing the Huntsman, our fencer origin thief. Last time, we fought a couple of pigs. We met a charming man who lied about knowing what jazz was. We killed a sneaky motherfucker, a real son of a bitch who digs around in the queen's boudoir, apparently.
Gross.
And he offered to do it for us. We're like, hell no, don't do that. And then we've moved through a very familiar set of woods towards an ebony castle that is of great import to the Huntsman.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play the Spider, our assassin fencer. And last time, we've started encountering a lot more new, different people, and she doesn't do so well with new, different people. So she was playing very aloof, very distant, as she's trying to suss out the situation. She's like, hey, I've just gotten comfortable with four new people today. I'm at my limit.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I'm playing the real boy, our party's cleric once again. And last session, we met up with our friend Patches. Love Patches. Patches is the best. Everybody loves Patches. We keep Patches around, obviously. Guy was the most trustworthy guy ever. Found a quaint little cottage that stirred something in the real boy, made him start to think and remember things. Of course, the next thing that went through his head was the claw of a lizard, so that didn't matter.
Oh. Yeah, you were the first death.
Yeah, of course I was.
Yeah.
As is tradition.
The curse of Imhotep will never let you go, buddy.
Hello, I'm Grayson, playing the part he's knight with a brute origin. We've certainly kind of gotten into it. We are learning a lot of things about characters that we do have at the moment. The crystal lizard was, of course, a big fight. And, you know, the one character that probably should have been up in the front was in the back. I don't know why. But, hey, that's the roll of the dice, I guess. I mean, I did say that I was bringing up the back end because we got snuck up on by Patches. The whole situation was just very unfortuitous, I guess it was. Anyway, we're also learning that the prince, he's a lot nicer than we all originally thought. Or he is capable of these other things.
I was going to say nice is an interesting choice of words.
It's actually kind of nice for the knight to see, just because it's hopefully showing that there's more to the original selfish behavior that we kind of saw.
Hello, I'm Danger Dan Jurz, and I am playing Prince Edward, a jack-of-all-trades with a deprived origin. Last time I learned that our team has some interesting priorities. It's been reinforced several times that dishonesty is a zero tolerance thing that this team has hang-ups with. So, duly noted, in the way that we handled Patches, there were some lessons learned there about where the bar is. Like, yeah, this guy was dishonorable and untrustworthy, but still potentially useful, but that takes a back seat. So, pro-murder, anti-lying, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
These are the lessons we need to teach a child.
Also, I got a metal exoskeleton that was sick as fuck, so...
Yeah!
That was super cool.
That was pretty good. All right, and with that, let's delve back into the darkness. You all wake up after taking a long rest at the bonfire. The gates to Ebony Castle and this ominous dark castle loom over you, and you sense that inside is evil. Your target, one of the vile ones, resides in this castle. This would be a good time to explain how dying is going to work in this game.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So, Daniel, you died last time. Now, traditionally, in the rules of the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game, when a character dies and when they get resurrected, they are supposed to roll a d20 on something called the Hallowing Table. One of 20 things can happen. You can either come back with a boon, you can either come back with a debuff, or your character can completely lose their mind and soul altogether, and you have to create a new character. Since this is all of our first times playing with this new type of system, I am giving the players a freebie.
Got it.
Glad I could take the first one.
Yeah. You can all see that the doors to Ebony Castle, the main gates, are unlocked. What would you like to do?
Coming back from the long rest, the huntsman's heart wound is pretty profusely bloodstained now. The shirt is pretty damp with like a steady ooze of blood. And he looks at the door and he says, "Our mark is inside. Shall we?"
Should you get that checked out first?
What, am I going to die?
I suppose not, but, like, he just kind of looks at it. It's kind of gross.
You see inside it, as you're looking at it, that the flesh looks almost like there's something inside stitching back together.
Ooh.
He looks away.
So then between the real boy coming back to life and the huntsman's weird self-surgery, the prince is going to kind of look between the two of you and then say to the real boy, "So, is this some sort of boon from your Lifebringer? Or is all of this, not dying thing separate from your whole deal?"
As I understand it, it is due to the nature of us being, kind of looks at his hands, undead. As much as I would like to attribute the otherwise miraculous resurrection that I went through, to do so would be a lie, which I cannot abide.
Yes, you've made that quite clear. And he is going to march on ahead.
Okay, so you all enter Ebony Castle. From the outside, the castle was decrepit. Inside, it feels worse. A very thick layer of dust covers what would have been a once grand royal hallway. Tapestries have been torn, paintings on the floor ripped entirely. But as you enter the castle, this once beautiful castle, you see three silver knights in front of you. Behind the knights are two hallways on either side of grand doors. And you can feel that behind those grand doors, that leads to the throne room. These knights have not moved, but you can tell they know you're there, and they're just waiting for you to inch ever closer to strike.
Prince, we might need that silver tongue of yours. You want to go up there first, see how they're feeling?
The prince is going to shoot out above his head his royal crest and insignia and wave it around to see and, like, kind of take stock of where their eyes are trained.
They're not looking at the crest. They do not move. They do not make any sort of motion when the crest is flashed.
The prince is going to hesitantly start to inch forward, holding the crest out in front and above him, and say, We seek an audience with the Queen. And as a royal dignitary, I would request that you allow us safe passage so that we may exchange pleasantries from one royal to another.
They have not moved, but I would like you to make me a perception check.
Perceive that it's super chill and we can just go.
The knight will shift a little bit closer to the spider and the huntsman.
I do believe I have this feeling that we may or may not be in combat very soon.
The huntsman turns to you with his bow already out and like an arrow knocked. Not drawn, but just like on the string, and he's like, you think so?
That was an 11 perception.
You can tell that these knights will not move until you reach a certain point in the room, and they will hound you. But you have a very sneaking suspicion that if you were to get past them, they won't follow you.
Interesting.
I want to check something. I'll grab a rock from the ground and huck it in between two of the knights.
So, Grayson, as you throw the pebble, this knight draws its sword, this knight arms its bow, aims down at the pebble, sees it's just a pebble, and then it relaxes and does not advance.
I might hazard to guess that these are only sentinels.
I'd rather just dumb.
As all of this is going down, the prince, getting kind of frustrated, is going to shout at them. All right, well, I do not know where anyone's sense of decorum is, but I'm getting really fucking sick and tired of nobody acknowledging the royalty in the room. I am a prince. There are certain obligations that should be considered. He is beginning to step forward, continuing to wave that crest over his head, and I will cast Iron Flesh as the anger kind of seeps over me and my skin starts to harden. I worked incredibly hard to gain this sigil and to gain this prestige, and I would like for it to mean a damn thing.
So the second you move forward, all three knights move their heads towards you. Swords are now drawn, a bow is taut, aimed directly at you, and I need you all to roll initiative.
All right.
And position.
Cool.
I do want to say, while this was all going on, the spider had been, like, carefully and tentatively analyzing this new Dark Moon longbow that she obtained from the prince, looking at the carving along the bow, running her fingers down the string, and then hearing the prince start shouting and waving his sigil wildly, is going to flinch at that and go, Huntsman, I don't remember if I've ever wielded one of these before. Do you mind if I stand beside you for this fight?
Of course. A worthy ally is great company.
She is going to nervously nod and start very carefully, very clumsily, mostly shaking hands, knock the arrow.
Let's go.
Yeah.
This is going to be fucking badass.
Jordan, since you're first up, what would you like to do?
Well, since I'm going first in the initiative, I automatically have advantage due to being an assassin. So, first off, roll to hit. 21 to hit, and I'm going to attack the one closest to us.
The 21 will definitely hit.
Huzzah! Okay, so that will be 14 damage.
Alrighty.
Spider is going to string that bow. She's had a lot of time to really just take a second and focus, and is going to let it fly.
Yeah, just like that.
Thank you.
The knight leaves its attention from the prince, and you can see its head. You, Spider, can tell that underneath the blackness is just a withered, decrepit skull.
Ooh.
Decomposed flesh and teeth baring at you.
That will just fill the spider with a sense of melancholy, recognizing how endless the cycle will be. She's gonna knock another arrow and pull it back again. 24!
Holy heck!
That definitely hits!
And she will whisper to the arrow, I hope we may end your suffering, and is going to roll damage. 7 damage.
21 total is not bad.
Heck yeah. I think she's going to slump back exhausted after the second arrow flies and look back towards the huntsman and say, that is a lot more exhausting than it looks.
As you slump back, the huntsman like puts a hand on your back and like supports you and pushes you back up to your feet. And he says, but it was a magnificent couple of shots.
And you'll see her like stony face start to light up a little bit.
So the second arrow finds purchase again, and the knight is just going to start walking in your direction, but sees a new target, and that will be Grayson. So this first knight is actually going to make a multi-attack at Grayson.
The prince gets fucking ignored after his tantrum.
Oh, don't worry. He'll get something coming to him first, or next, I should say. Guys, he rolled a nat 1.
Yeah! Yeah!
So he completely whiffs. The sword goes into the ground pretty deep, about a foot away from Grayson, and it's stuck, and he's just going... He's trying to pull it out and can't. So because of that one, Grayson, free shot.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
Sweet. Love it. 22.
22 will hit.
11. Yeah, 11 damage.
If you could see embarrassment on a dead man's face, that's what this is, because it had a sword. It had two arrows going into it. It completely whiffs a swing, and it's just like, you know what? Just fucking kill me now. I'm so done with this right here.
Relatable.
Now, the one with the bow, he is going to take a swing at the prince.
Huntsman is squinting so hard at his form, ready to judge the shit out of it.
Good.
Does a 20 hit?
A 20 does hit.
He's pretty good.
And the damage will be cut in half.
Oh, yeah, because of your iron flesh, right?
Huzzah!
17 cut in half, 9 damage total.
All right.
And because you got hit by a great bow, you will be pushed 15 feet straight backwards.
Oh, wow.
Holy hell.
And this knight, he is going to move up to the prince, and he is going to take a swing at him with his sword.
Oh, Jesus.
Wombo combo.
Does a 13 hit?
A 13 does not hit.
It doesn't. Okay.
I would like to imagine that the longbow arrow pushed me out of the way of the sword swing.
You know what? That's cooler. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The shot pushes you far enough that the sword just barely grazes you, but not enough to hurt you.
Sick.
So, Aaron, it is your turn.
The huntsman draws back one of his arrows and he says, Your Majesty, reposition. And I will go ahead and take a shot at the injured knight.
All right, cool. Roll the hit.
Does a 19 hit?
A 19 does hit.
Let's fucking go!
Yeah!
As it turns out, audio listeners, I read the handbook a little bit more. And it turns out I don't get 1d6 if I haven't moved. I get 3d6 if I haven't moved.
Whoa!
So.
Oh, shit.
So let me just go ahead and start rolling.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Rough. So 11 damage off the die. Let me just toss 40 on that. So 51 damage.
What? 51 damage?
Yeah. How's that looking?
Describe a killing blow.
As the huntsman orders the prince to, like, reposition, get out of the way, and duck, he just absolutely annihilates the already wounded soldier. The arrows are still sticking out from the longbow, and the huntsman draws back, takes a look over at Spider, and, like, you know, shows off his arm positioning and stuff, like, this is how you shoot. And then he knocks the thing's head and pins it to the wall behind. And then he reaches to his belt, and he just absolutely starts slurping and gulping, and there's like wet sloshing sounds as he hits the Estus glass. And that'll be the turn.
Not much can make the spider wince, but the sloshing sound.
Okay, and as the Silver Knight dies, he drops the Black Knight Greatsword, so that's just going to be chilling right there.
Got it.
And Jesus, okay.
Blasted out of oblivion.
Pretty much. Like, the dude didn't even have a chance. Like, his head was gone.
Dust.
All right, Daniel, you're up.
So after watching the huntsman turn us up to a fucking railgun.
He looks very tired and injured, by the way. He looks like he could use a lot of help.
The real boy looks over at his chest to just assume that wound is absolutely disgusting right now.
It is unchanged at the moment.
Do you need a little help with the kind of points to the hole?
Desperate shark eyes turn to you and you hear, a little? a little help?
Got it. Okay. I'm going to stay right next to him. Actually, I'm going to stay behind him. And I'm going to use my heal spell for 1d8 plus 5. So you're going to recover 8. And I don't think I can put position into my magic, can I?
I think you can.
Yeah, I
was going to say, I think it's any dice roll.
That said, just the regular healing is probably fine. You are very fragile. Please do not die again.
Then you gain an additional 8 position back.
Thank you so much. You guys, I might survive a hit now. That's fucking amazing.
Hell yeah.
All right, Grayson, you're up.
Alrighty. Turns over to the prince.
I see that you're in need of a little bit of aid. I'm on it.
And he will run a bit north, kind of interposing himself between the archer and the prince, but then also has the knight on his side so he can attack the knight.
Alright, roll to hit.
24 to hit.
That'll hit.
6 damage for my first attack.
Okay.
And then the second attack, 22 to hit.
22 will hit.
Let's go!
That's going to be another 6, but I will pump some position into this as well.
I'll make jackasses out of all of us.
I will pump an extra 14 position into this to get him to 20 damage total.
20 damage total. God damn. Okay. You can feel the flesh and bone and sinew tear as your sword cuts in. And this silver knight just looks up at you and you hear a... It wants you dead. It is not happy right now.
Oh, and with that, sure, why not? I've got a bonus action. I'll toss back an Estus.
Alrighty, Dan, you're up.
Alright, so I'm going to look with a little bit of gratitude to the team as a whole for everybody showing deference and respect to my title. And I am going to take the advice of my team and run away in between these two knights, but out of their direct field of fire. And I am going to first take the dodge action.
Remind me what the dodge action does again.
All attacks against me have disadvantage, and I have advantage on dex saves, which cancels out with my disadvantage from Iron Flesh.
Okay, cool.
And I am going to yell to both of them.
All right, see, this is what I'm talking about. Look at the one that just died. Look, bully, look at me. Look at me when I am talking to you. Look at the one that just died. That would not have happened. That was entirely preventable if you would just have some sense, like all of these people. Look at me when I am talking to you.
So while the one with the sword is just fighting Grayson, the one with the great bow, you can tell it's looking right at you, and it's about to notch another arrow to shoot you again.
Oh, shit.
I think it's looking at you.
Yes, I'm talking to you, but also you who aren't looking at me. Look at me. Look at me.
And that will end my turn.
I will turn back to the huntsman and the real boy and go, I think he complimented us.
Progress.
I don't think he meant to.
I'll take it.
Anything we could get.
All right, Jordan. You're up.
Okay. After my bow training, going, yeah, you know, you make it look so easy. And then the huntsman nearly killing himself with that last bow strike. I think it's going to freak out the spider a little bit. It's like, okay. And is going to switch back to her sword.
Oh, no!
I think if I do that, I might die. Switch back to sword and... I'm going to jump in front of the huntsman taking out my estoc in a flourish, and I will roll to hit. The first one was a 23 to hit.
A 23 will hit.
All right. And because I rolled with advantage, that will be sneak attack. Oof. That'll be 11.
Hey, 11 is still pretty damn good.
And then we will attack once more. Woo-hoo-hoo, 25 to hit.
That definitely hits.
Hell yeah.
She's going to stab into it, spin around, hit him on the back swing. That'll be 12.
This Silver Knight is on its last legs. One good hit will take it out.
Oh, what are you telling me right now? Interesting to hear that.
But I will say, after getting stabbed, this knight is focused on Grayson. This one, he's going to take a swing at Grayson with his sword.
Bring it on.
And 8's not going to hit, is it?
Negative.
And does a 14 hit?
It does not.
Aha!
You were able to perfectly block and deflect with no difficulty whatsoever. However, the knight that's on the top is going to take its great bow and aim at the prince.
Hey, it's looking at me.
Yay!
That's disadvantage to hit. That disadvantage was a 1 and a 4.
Yeah, that one!
So instead of it making a multi-attack, which I forgot to do last time, but oh, you know, womp womp, that's on me. It pulls back its bow. The string snaps. The bow is broken.
I've done that. Damn.
Unlike last time where you were able to fix it, this knight won't be able to fix it.
Yes.
So he is essentially unarmed.
Let's all go to Clown Town, baby!
Yay!
Welcome to Clown Town, population you.
But yeah, that'll be its turn. Mr. Guy attached to a car battery, you're up.
Yeah.
Because it might be relevant, he has just never stopped chugging the Estus, so I'll just go ahead and do that first this time. Just keeps on. Since the last turn, there has just been ongoing slurping and like dripping, and this, his shirt's wet. The real boy's a little bit damp.
I was gonna say the real boy is like having to shake off his catalyst.
No, the poor cricket.
Splashing everywhere.
The cricket is covered in juice.
No!
And I will roll to hit on the one that's basically dead. Does an 18 hit?
An 18 does.
Yay!
Hell yeah! Time for my myriad dice. All right, so 18 total.
Describe your killing blow.
Now we're talking! The huntsman turns, looses an arrow. It's not nearly with the same amount of raw power as the railgun earlier, but it's able to like go through the throat and the spine from the head, and then the huntsman spends a little bit of position as his bow allows to make a second ranged attack.
Ooh.
Whoa! Yeah!
Okay, well, does a 13 hit?
A 13 does not hit.
Look, I tried! I'm so tired!
So now, Daniel, your turn.
You know, I'm gonna hold a heal in case somebody needs to run over and needs a heal.
Okay.
As you walk away, the huntsman like raises out his arm like, no.
Baby, come back.
Grayson, your turn.
Alrighty. Since we have the solo guy unarmed, the knight will square up, pull his sword. He's ready to go.
Alright, roll to hit.
That's not gonna hit. That was a 2. 18?
18 will.
Ooh, nice. All right, cool. I like that. So I'll get one hit.
How much position you got?
He is at full health, just letting you all know.
That's fine. That is going to be 10 for damage, but we're going to be spending position.
Spend like 50, just kill him.
You know what?
Oh!
Playing fast and loose.
I will go ahead and spend 40 position.
Yes!
Let's go!
Wait, so what's the total? What's the total, Grayson?
Just a flat 50 damage.
This motherfucker is still standing, but barely.
I figure.
Grayson, I love you. And not necessarily platonically.
If this is all the Queen of Vanity has to offer, you have left us wanting more.
and just brings the sword down and cuts as deep as he can. And with that, I will, of course, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use a bonus action to suck on an Estus flask.
Do it. All right, Dan, you're up.
All right, so second verse, same as the first. Going to take the dodge action again. And again, step forward up to this knight, tap him on the shoulder with my scepter as it's just taken that hit. And we'll continue my tirade of...
See, all of this could have been prevented if you had just been polite, stood aside, and let us through. I mean, now two of your associates are dead, and you look pretty badly damaged, so maybe reconsider that next time around. In your next go of life, if you pop back up the way that we do. I don't even know that you do. I don't know if you're important enough to do that, but...
And he'll just kind of trail off and just keep blabbing, and that's my turn.
Dan, could you roll me a d4 real quick?
Like a vicious mockery.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 2.
Describe your killing blow.
Yeah!
Oh my Jesus God!
So, as I'm just prattling and it keeps its attention focused on the knight, I keep trying to tap it more and more aggressively with my scepter, trying to reposition its head to look at me. And as it continually does not pay me attention, I get more and more frustrated and eventually give it a good enough to take it down to its feet one more time. And as it fades away, I kind of calm down and my iron flesh recedes.
And congratulations, you were all out of combat. Please add 2,100 souls to your soul bank. And also, that last knight dropped a silver shield.
Ooh.
Ooh. Nice.
But yeah, Dan, congratulations. You successfully talked a silver knight to death.
Yeah!
The real boy walks up behind the prince, puts hands on his shoulder, and says, do you need to talk about some things?
I feel like I just did.
Do you need to talk about things in a more healthy manner?
I don't know, he looks lighter already.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, that was pretty cathartic.
You know what? If it works, it works. He just makes his way past the prince.
And congratulations, you are all out of combat.
Yay!
The huntsman will actually walk up to the doors themselves and give them a check. The big doors that obviously our big boss is behind.
So as you approach the doors, you try to open it, but they are locked shut. And you can tell that no amount of brute force that the five of you can muster will be able to knock these doors down. There is, however, two hallways on either side of these doors that you have an inkling that you may get what you need down below in the castle's dungeons.
I almost feel as though we should split up.
When the huntsman touches the door, all of you impossibly hear a beat from inside his chest.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
I'm with him. We should probably split up.
Split up? Who would go with who?
I would suggest that you choose your favorite. Choose now.
She's gonna crumple into a little ball on the floor.
I'll follow the prince.
I'll go with you, Miss Spider.
Thank you.
All right, knight, choose your favorite. Choose now.
Come on, son. Who gets you in the divorce?
Oh, no.
Love this Uno reverse.
I know. It's so good. Seeing that the prince has a special defensive ability and huntsman who has incredible offensive capabilities, I think he's already assuming that they're probably going to be okay. A little worried about the clergyman because he's already seen him fall in battle once.
I'm fine. Trust me, I'm fine.
I would, of course, believe that if I didn't hear you speak. So he'll start heading to the right.
All right.
It's okay, you could just say that you hate me.
Young sire, I do not hate you. If anything, you impressed me with your tactical mind. I assumed that you were prattling on like a child, but the words that you shared were more of a ruse, as it were.
unbelievable that he delivers compliments with the back of his hand.
And the prince is going to smile at that.
All right, and then it looks like me and Prince go left, and the loser crew goes right. I mean, the other people go right.
It's okay. I have my favorite teammate on the team, and I'm going to look and tap on the little cricket glass.
Of course, the spider would like the cricket.
Yeah.
The real boy takes the cricket, picks the cage up, and like, this is important, and I'm afraid I cannot let you harm my little friend.
She looks up at you with like the biggest watery eyes, and she's like, I would never.
He carefully puts her back.
As the group splits, taking different stairways down into the dungeons.
Oh, we're all back together again.
Yep. The staircase essentially meets in the middle and forms into one singular room, which all of you meet up and go, oh, all right.
I like to imagine that the real boy and like the huntsman are both like in the front, like going down backwards, and they bump into each other.
Also, the huntsman and the prince are just talking shit, and then we see you guys like, look at that.
And as you enter the dungeons, you can't quite make it out just yet, but you do hear murmuring to the south of you. But you have a feeling that those are Ashen Ones. Whomever is talking isn't a hostile.
The real boy kind of steps forward and says, I hear voices, and they sound like they are in need. As part of my oath, I cannot simply stand by and let others be tormented, imprisoned, or the like.
For simple safety, would you mind if I accompany you?
I would be honored, Sir Knight, to have you come with me.
The rest of us could look for the key.
Are we? Oh, yes, we are looking for a key.
What? Right, cool. It's been 3 seconds!
are we splitting up again?
All right, everyone pick your favorite.
I'm torn between the spider and the car battery.
Well, I'm not good with strangers, so I will look for the key.
I'll accompany you.
All right, Prince, pick your favorite.
He's going to make a beeline directly for the cricket lantern.
The real boy takes the cricket off of his thing, and it's less of a, I'm here to protect it, and more of a, you're being weird about this. He looks at the cricket. He's making it weird, right? This is weird. He says it's weird.
Yes, he is making it weird.
All right, so presumably, those three members of the team go down and talk to people. And Spider and I will go directly east, I assume.
Okay. So, as the prince, the real boy, and the knight move south, the voices get a little more distinct, and you can actually hear what one of them is saying.
Well, this is a bit of a predicament we find ourselves in, old friend.
You're telling me you're Victor Luca. All we have to do is just go over to the crossroad, meet up with Rick, and then we wouldn't have been in this situation. But now, you have to go all the way over here and try to find out anyone who could help us fight the Wild Ones, and now we're trapped. We're stuck in here because of you.
You know, old friend, I've been meaning to tell you, you need to get that checked out.
Get what checked out?
I wonder if they were speaking of their own lack of health.
And he will turn over to the real boy, just because we know that he has healing.
So the real boy walks up to the bars and says, hello, is there anybody within?
You hear dead silence for about a second or so, as the two who are arguing with each other cannot believe they just heard another voice. And you hear the rustling of armor, and what seems to be a giant of a man in armor that is just very round and bulbous. I don't want to say waddles, but the way he walks, he's doing it with controlled chaos. Mm-hmm. Almost trips like 3 times on the way. He goes, yes, yes, we're over here. Hello. You're Ashen Ones, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, thank the flame. Donovan, we're saved. We got friends here.
Great, just for what we need. More idiots to get stuck around these vulnerable.
Oh, shush you. Hi. My name's Gerald. The one back there, that's Donathan. We could use some help, if you can.
The real boy looks back to you and goes, weren't those the names of the companions to our friend that we met along the road?
Yes, that Michael fellow.
Michael.
Oh, you mean Mick? He's a great guy, isn't he? Yeah, we've been trying to find some Ashen Ones to help in this big plan that he has to take down the Vile Ones, and unfortunately, we took a wrong turn and got stuck here. I don't want to really talk about it.
Of course you don't want to talk about it, because it's all your fault, you river Luca!
There's no need to point fingers. We are here to help. Is there anybody else within with you?
Yeah, it's me, the big idiot here, and there's one old guy who's just staring into the ground, not talking about things.
He kind of, like, tries to see if he can spot the guy who's staring at the floor. Can you hear us?
And you hear a shuffling from the entryway into the cell. You see a withered old man. Time has not been kind to him. He wears the apron of someone who works with his hands, and his hands bearing the many scars and nicks of a craftsman. And as he looks up, he sees you and rushes, pushes Gerald and his giant mass out of the way, rushes up to the door. But then once he gets a better view of you, he stops and he just takes you, the real boy, all in for a second. A bit of sadness is in his eyes. And he goes, oh, my apologies, good sir. You sounded like someone I knew. Yes, it's just the three of us in here. We've been prisoners of the Queen. She's kept us here, kept me here for... By the Fae, I don't even know how long.
By the who?
The Blue Fae, the Lifebringer. I owe her everything. She granted me a miracle once.
The real boy kind of grabs onto his charm and says, I did not expect to meet another of the faithful down here. In this land at all.
The old man's eyes light up and he goes, oh, you follow her too? You are one of the faithful? Oh, blessings. Even in this dark place, I've found blessings. I found another of the cloth. Yay.
He nods and he says, well, what brings you to such a place that you are to be captured like this?
Oh, well, before the Vile Ones attacked, I tinkered. I made things out of wood, metal. I enjoyed my work. It gave me purpose in life until I longed for more. And the Lifebringer, she granted me a greater purpose in life. And some tears start to well up in his eyes as he sniffles and holds them back and brushes those tears away. He's like, sorry, my son, he went to go fight when they attacked. And after he was born, I vowed to never make instruments that would hurt another. But when he left, I tried to go find him, or at least make sure he was okay. And that ended me up in the outskirts of the castle before, when the princess, when she was still in charge and before the queen took over. She kept me at work. She told me to make things that made me happy and the children happy. But then the queen heard of what I used to do and, well, she didn't force me to make many weapons, just make objects for her vanity. Mirrors, clothes, crystal bowls, just a variety of just trinkets to emphasize her own quote-unquote beauty.
You made these pieces for vanity for her and still ended up in here?
Yeah, well, it's very easy to upset Her Majesty. Anything that makes her look distorted in any way, you end up here. I'm no Ashen One. To be honest, I don't know what I am. It's been so long since I've seen the sun, since I felt the warmth of a fire.
He nods slowly. I understand. And he reaches a hand through the bars to kind of like clasp his hand and like reassure him. We will find a way to get you free. You have my word.
I do know one of the reasons why she threw me down here
I made a key. A key that could get through the doors. It's down here somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I can assure you that where she hid it, it's protected.
We will find it. We will release you, and we will bring you to a safe place.
What is your name, young man?
He kind of thinks for a moment and tries to rack his brain and kind of shakes his head. I cannot remember it.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I guess that's one of the curses that you Ashen Ones bear. Your memories, they don't necessarily return.
That's true. Some of mine are still missing. Some of mine returned. It happens sometimes.
I am only but a few hours renewed. Even less for the re-renewed, but that is a different topic.
That gives us time. I still have a lot of enemies reckoned. My nephews.
He said words, I assume, but I didn't quite catch all of them.
Oh yeah, don't worry about him. He's hard to understand anyway.
Oh, I don't understand.
Calm down.
I believe that causing a commotion is not wise. He kind of looks back to the prince and the knight and says, I believe we should be moving to help the others find the key and release these prisoners as soon as we can.
Wait, there's one more thing. A few days ago, we overheard some sort of thief. There's a door that's locked north of here. He was shouting about shinies and uncomfortably about getting into the queen's boudoir. But the key I made should also be able to unlock that door. I don't know what's inside of it.
Presumably the queen's boudoir.
Well, if you could get us all out of here, we'll make sure this man gets to safety. You have our word. He will be well looked after us. Or well looked after by us, I should say.
He nods.
Meanwhile, the huntsman approaches this chest to the north, and while he's walking up and inspecting this chest, please let me perceive it, he looks over at the spider and says, you often make comments that imply a deep amount of pain and tragedy. Would you like to talk about it?
Roll me a perception check.
19 plus... Nothing! Ew! Oh, 19.
Oh.
Well, with a 19, it is a simple treasure chest. No signs of breathing. There is no signs of serrated teeth. It is a box.
I think the spider, she's going over to the other chest in the room, which I'm sure is fine. If that one's fine, this one surely should be fine.
Oh, no!
And she's going to say, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I have memories not in my mind, but more, I guess, in my soul. That sounds funny. I feel a certain way about things, yet I don't know why. Is it the same for you? I've noticed since we've been in this place, and she kind of gestures to your chest. That looks painful.
All that I have lost are things that were cast aside before my death. Now that they're gone, I don't feel much about them. He's opening the chest while he's talking. What matters is my mark. I am here, I can only assume, and cursed because once I did not claim my mark. This feels an honest payment. And he touches his horribly bloody chest that now has a little knot inside the wound that looks like the burgeoning development of what might be an organ.
Oh.
And he says, this is an unfortunate development. Anyway, what's in the chest then?
Teeth. You get killed. No. For reals, you open the chest and it contains a ring of favor.
Ooh.
You increase your position by +1 at the start of every combat.
Ooh.
Wow.
I think before the spider touches the chest, she's going to say, I think I had to leave something behind. I needed to, but I couldn't stay away. You might not still feel a connection to what you cast aside. I feel a strange longing, like I even still must return. Though I know it didn't end well for me the first time. And then, distracted by the internal conversation, I'm gonna flip open the chest! No!
And inside the chest, you find the Deep Ring.
Ooh.
Increase your spell attunement slots by +2.
Holy well, shit!
Oh, wow!
That'll go so well for all my spells.
Think about all the lightning the car battery can shoot out.
I think I'll look at this ring and she'll like softly smile and say, I'm happy I found something that I can finally give back to our group as a token of appreciation. I'm not used to traveling with people that I can trust.
Well, you are now. And after this is over and after we have hit all of our marks, we'll make sure that you can get back what it is that was taken from you.
Thank you.
And then they awkwardly, silently just walk back to where the party is.
Before you do, you notice that there is a locked door to your north.
Huntsman, wait, don't go down the hall. There's actually, wait, excuse me.
Yes?
There's a door up north that we haven't checked.
Rattle, rattle, rattle. It's locked. Don't worry, Ben, we got you. This is the flavor that you come here for.
Yay!
While they are walking down the hallway, the knight has already taken the stairs down to a lower portion. Me, Grayson, I see a chest just directly south of me. Is the light high enough for the knight to see it down the hallway?
Oh, yeah. For a dungeon, this dungeon is actually really well lit.
So nice.
The light is in abundance, so you can see that chest clear as day with no problems.
Not really seeing any danger, of course. We're going to do a perception check.
On the chest?
Sure.
All right, roll me a perception check.
23.
With a 23, this is also a harmless chest.
Yeah, he'll walk over to it and fling open the top.
And inside, you find the spider shield.
Ooh. So many shields.
When using the spider shield, once per long rest, you may spend 2 position to become immune to poison damage for 1 turn.
Gotcha. Okay. I got this chest. I don't know if anyone else wants to get the other one.
Yeah, since we're supposed to be late to the party, does the prince or the real boy want the last chest on the map?
Sure.
I bet it's safe and nice.
I will follow the prince, but I'm going to let him get the chest.
I'm going to start to go for the chest, see the real boy's hesitation, and then perceive it.
Okay, make me a perception roll.
14.
At first glance, this looks like a normal chest. Like, everything's fine, you go to reach for it, but right as you do, you feel a very faint, warm breath of air touch your hand.
Delicious.
Cricket Wielder, do you want to go investigate something in the hallway right behind me?
He immediately stands behind the prince and holds his charm up.
I need to look for something. This chest looks locked, and I think I have something that can deal with locks. And then I'm going to pad around through my pockets and pull out a small container of a powdered perfume that is blackened, corrupted, and molded over with the rot and decay of resurrection. And I am going to cast Toxic Mist.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, right in its mouth.
You breathe out a toxic gas, melting the skin of all those in its path. It forms a 20-foot cone. Any creature in the path of the mist suffers 3d6 poison damage and must succeed on a con save or be poisoned. So I will then puff these spores out at what is definitely a mimic.
It was a DC 14 save, you said?
Yes, DC 14.
It fails.
Yippee!
Hell yeah.
All right, so it will take 9 damage, and it is poisoned.
Okay.
Huzzah! Very nice.
All righty, and I will say, roll for initiative. Whoever wants to engage can get 1 free shot in the mimic. This is mostly going to be for Dan, Daniel, and Grayson, since you're in the immediate area.
Okay, so am I rolling for 1 attack, or can I roll for 2?
I'll say you can roll for 2.
Hell yeah. 22 to hit.
That will definitely hit.
That's going to be 8 damage. And second attack, 23 to hit.
That one was definitely hit.
So that's going to be 5 damage from the sword, but then I will dump in 38 position on top of that.
43.
Describe a killing blow.
Yeah!
Hell yeah. As soon as this thing kind of like pops up, give it a good swing straight through the top of it into the ground. And then it squirms and writhes and then just rests.
I love this fucking system.
And as it fades away, it drops the skeleton key. You can now unlock any door in Ebony Castle.
Very nice.
I got a new toy.
May I see that key?
Of course. It is yours.
He gives him a nod and makes his way back to the prison cell.
You hear the clang of Gerald's armor. Oh! Boys, we got a way out!
Hey, you kind of come around the other way. Well, shark rifles. Yeah, sure, whatever. Freedom, yeah.
Very tempted to bonk him.
As they're leaving, the craftsman goes up to the real boy. He shakes his hand. He goes, thank you. I will find a way to repay your kindness this day, good sir.
That is not necessary, but whatever you feel is appropriate is appreciated.
You know, the more I look at you, the more you remind me of him. What is the last thing you remember, if you don't mind my asking? I apologize for prying into your affairs.
I remember teeth. Very large, powerful. The next thing I remember is awakening in that graveyard. Much else is a blur, a blank. I do not remember much. I'm sorry.
That must have been a horrible memory. I apologize for prying. I do hope to see you again. And he follows Donathan and Gerald out of Ebony Castle.
Rude Boy walks back to the knight and hands him the key again.
Are you sure you do not want to hold on to this?
I have used what I needed it for.
Very well.
I would like to test that key on a room to the north, which we're pretty sure is the Queen's boudoir. We both of us want that.
Oh.
You guys can't see it, but the knight's eyebrow is just really raised up.
It's just the spider is just dejected, but makes no argument.
Very well, I suppose we will follow your lead.
With renewed solemnity, true seriousness, no more tongue-in-cheek, the huntsman will walk up to this door at the very northern edge of this dungeon, slowly insert the key, turn it, and creak the door open.
Inside, you find a chest at the base of what looks like an altar to a deity that you cannot place. The faces, the features of this deity have eroded with time. You can tell that this altar was used, but it was used probably even before the princesses took charge of the Great Flame.
Your Majesty, I think it's been the longest since you've gotten to help yourself to a box. Here's one.
I'll offer the help action for anyone that's going to perceive it.
I will perceive it.
Roll me perception check.
Unnatural 20.
Oh!
Nice! Very nice!
With an unnatural 20, you make direct eye contact with the chest.
Oh.
Just like the one to the south that was holding the skeleton key, this is in fact another mimic.
Get him.
I know I have something in my pockets to deal with a troublesome lock. While I'm looking for that, I did notice something very interesting in the hallway behind me.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Starts making his way, just like, oh, yeah, oh, mm-hmm. He knows what's about to happen again.
The spider not being there for the last time, look at the knight and the real boy, immediately walk away, and she's like, wait, what? What is happening? Huh? What's going on? And we'll stay planted.
Trust.
It will take 11 poison damage, and then it needs to make a DC 14 constitution save or be poisoned.
DC 14 save of the constitution. That is a nat 20.
Oof.
Whoa.
So it's not poisoned.
It is not poisoned. With the nat 20, I'm going to say it will just make a regular claw attack at you, Dan. Does a 14 hit?
A 14 will hit.
That is 10 damage.
Oof.
Oof.
So it does get a swipe at Dan, but whoever wants to strike first, you can.
Would this count as a surprise round?
I would say this does.
Yes.
That would be spectacular because I will get a crit.
Okay, Jordan.
Does a 17 hit?
It definitely does.
Huzzah! So we will do, because this is a surprise round, I will automatically get critical damage.
Oh.
So that will be 8d6.
Oh.
And 2d8 on top of that.
God damn!
8d6.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
2d8.
Jesus Christ.
That's less impressive. But seeing the prince get attacked, will reach out in just like instinctual primal fury without even thinking and will lunge forward with the S-Stock, stabbing deep and true into this beast. And that will be 38 damage.
Describe your killing blow.
Stone cold, zero emotion, deep into the mimic, and she will draw out her blade, flick off the mimic goo, and go, "Oh great, we can't even trust inanimate objects. Awesome, love that." And will sheath her S-Stock.
As the mimic falls dead, fades away, an item is left behind.
Ooh.
This item very much resembles a stone tiara, but it has markings and etchings that resemble the wand that Grayson got earlier.
Ah, could be a fairy princess.
Well, your majesty, looks like you could be a fairy princess.
So whomever would like, add a stone tiara to your inventory.
I'll take the stone tiara.
Okay, okay. Good. You deserve it.
Do you guys want to make your way up top?
I think we should.
Yeah.
So you approach the doors, you put the skeleton key, and the doors swing open to this gorgeous, ornate throne room. And you see, sitting on her throne, quite possibly the most beautiful woman any of you has ever seen, looking into a hand mirror, just admiring her own appearance. She is wearing a skin black garb. A purple cape is around her neck. Her dress is black as night, with hints of purple here and there just splayed out as she is sitting on her throne. She is very, very pretty. And Huntsman, a rush of memories come to you. You remember seeing this woman before you, a little younger, no less beautiful, as you were bringing in the day's hunt to the castle kitchens. You look over and you see her, and your eyes meet for the first time. You blink again and your memory goes to a moonlit lake. Both of your silhouettes are at the water's edge, and you embrace and you kiss for the first time.
Oh.
You blink again and you remember her screaming and yelling about an engagement that she must partake in, that she wants no part of. But at the same time, she looks at her and finds one gray hair. You blink again and she gives you a box with a heart and a knife and tells you to go get the princess's heart. As all of you walk in, she hears the doors open, not looking from a mirror. She goes, "Magic mirror in my hand. Who dares disturb the fairest
in the land. You then hear a disembodied voice. It feels like the entire chamber echoes with this voice, but you know it's coming from her mirror, and it goes,
"Warriors five, to whom you they contest, ashen ones bound to their eternal conquest."
Well, it's been many, many moons since Ashen Ones have been graced by my beauty. And as she finally looks up from her mirror, she scowls. Her eyes dart directly at the huntsman. And what was once like a cat playing with a mouse turns to pure, unfiltered rage. You dare show your face to me again? Was your treachery not enough? Was I not beautiful enough for you? You chose her over me. It seems death wasn't enough for you, my little pet. So let me give you one last token of my affection.
And one last time, Huntsman, as you blink, you feel your heart, your physical heart, being ripped out of your chest, not by you, but by the queen standing before you, laughing as you fall and the life leaves your eyes as they are closed, what you thought was forever. But you were in fact one of the very first casualties of the war for Phantasia. And as the queen gets up, she approaches the group, her mirror in her hand, morphing.
"Magic mirror in my hand, grant me the power to control the land."
And the mirror starts to melt and form into a crystal ball. Her own beauty fades. Lightning strikes, and as the lightning strikes, the light on her face changes, and from a beautiful visage into something grotesque. And her entire outfit changes. A giant hat forms around her crown into a witch's hat. Her robes engulf her completely. And finally she says,
"Let my grace and beauty fall, for in this guise I shall kill them all."
Roll for initiative.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the curse. The sound of battle cries, blood red dirt and crimson skies. The kingdom is pleading for its hero. Will you be the one to rise?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Souls, created and hosted by Ben Magnet, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself, Danger Dan Jers. If you want to join the ranks of patrons like Mellow Calico, Matthew Flugstad, Emperor Palpatine, Pyropat, and Billy Bob Jones, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also help us out by spreading the word to your friends and family, or leaving us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. Our cast was Aaron Caulfield as The Huntsman, Daniel Cruz as The Real Boy, myself, Danger Dan Jers, as The Prince, Grayson Norman as The Knight, and Jordan Nelson as The Spider. Our theme song and outro were created by Nicole Carino, Additional music was provided by Monument Studios. Keep an ear out for more content from us and follow our socials at dndark_podcast for info about more of our upcoming projects.
Now that they're gone, I don't feel much about them. He's opening the chest while he's talking. What matters is my mark. We can get there in a second, Ben!
Hello and welcome to Super Stryford Regency Rangers, a comedy action adventure loosely based on Sentai and Sensibility by 9th Level Games and starring some of Stratford's most colorful creatures.
You may call me Adrien Alucard Depeche. If you know what my father did, it could be bad.
Looking matronly with her face hidden behind a fan stands the Kuchisake Ona. Doesn't everyone think she's beautiful?
My name is Sir Gordon Topham Hatt. Pleasure to meet you. I like to make stuff go boom.
My name is Richard Milo Renfield.
He's back.
No, he's just still like that. Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Frederick the Loafer.
My God, is this the dude that was like... in that one episode of Sea and Dark?
It is the deepest cut of inside jokes that could be made.
Are you married, miss?
I am not married.
Kuchisake leans immediately to the group, just pulls a quick huddle. We need to get this trollop out of this fucking town.
We go fight?
I meet you at dawn tomorrow morning.
It's... date.
I hope to find love like that someday.
She says that I hit her. I did not hit her. It's not bullshit. I did not. And as you're walking, he just keeps following you.
Oh, God. I believe I have made an unfortunate ally.
On his hips are two pistols. On his back are two rifles. And on his chest, a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God.
I will destroy all of you and destroy this town.
D&D Dark presents Super Stratford Regency Rangers, premiering Wednesday, May 27th, only on patreon.com/DandDarkPodcast.